The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
I feel very fortunate today because we have a guest who does not do a lot of interviews. Though if you do travel, and especially if you're a woman who travels by herself, you probably have gone on her website. Evelyn Hannon of JourneyWoman.com is joining us on the podcast, and she has been featured in Time Magazine, The New York Times, People Magazine. She has a award-winning website, JourneyWoman.com. And in my opinion, she pretty much is the godmother of all travel bloggers. She really started this, and by accident almost, and we will talk to her momentarily. Also going to be talking to the great Charlie Daniels, member of the Country Music Hall of Fame. He's traveled all over the world, touring and just visiting because he loves to travel. We'll talk to him also on today's podcast. But first, we start with Evelyn. And Evelyn, I would have to say that you are the original travel blogger. And even though, in my opinion, you started this whole genre, you would say that you are old school?
The whole idea of old school, because that's really what I am. If you looked at my website, you know I'm totally old school. I don't believe in all the SEOs and OACs and blah, blah, blah. I just do it. I try to be authentic.
And people have found you regardless of being old school. You have quite a following.
I know. It's absolutely unbelievable because sometimes I think about the fact if you look up in the sky and you see an airplane that has 350 seats, that will hold 350 people, I say, my readership can hold 10, 20, 30 of these. And it's beyond what I can actually believe.
Well, I read the other day, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think you had, how many people are just on your email list? It was tons. I mean, it was unbelievable.
60,000.
Yes, yes. Well, first of all, when did this start and how did it all get started?
Well, it all started with my divorce. I was married when I was very young and divorced when I was still very young. And at that point, I was 42 years old. I had two grown children, and I had never traveled by myself before. And I thought to myself, if I don't get out of the house and if I don't try this, I'm going to be stuck here baking chocolate cakes and not doing anything else. And I actually thought going out into the world on my own, I was going to die. There was that sense, that impending doom. And I forced myself. I said, if you can get out there and travel for 35 days on your own, then that will be a metaphor for the rest of your life. And I had something like $700 in my bank account. And so I called a travel agent and I said, I just want the cheapest ticket to Europe. I don't care where I go, but it has to be the cheapest. And at that point in, it was 1982, it was $200 to fly to Brussels in Belgium.
Okay.
And that's where I went. And everybody said, oh, you're so brave. Oh, that's so wonderful of you. How did you do? I said, well, to tell you the truth, I was away for 35 days. I cried for 35 days.
Really?
But I started to talk to people. I started to ask questions. I started to meander. And slowly but surely, I saw, hey, you're still breathing. You're still okay. Now, it sounds outlandish for females today. But don't forget, this was 1982. Few women were divorcing. It was just the beginning of the divorce revolution. You stayed home with your husband. He was the one that took you on beach holidays or on your honeymoon. And suddenly, here I was out in the world all by myself. And guess what? I survived. And I came home, and I started to think about this. I started to think, you know, people are now inviting me to dinner parties because they want to hear my stories. These are married couples. What's going on? Why has this become such a flashpoint kind of thing? And I started to look for other women who were doing what I was doing. And guess what? There was nothing. There was maybe one book being written in the UK, maybe one or two in the States, Canada, I couldn't find a thing. And I had to make up my own rules as I went along. I had to figure out how to stay safe on my own. And I did it. I did it. And then I started talking to other women and saying, what do you think? Would you like to join me? And by 1994, I created a newsletter, the first newsletter for women travelers. And I started out with 100 people who bought the newsletter. And I did it for 3 years.
Okay.
But I was exhausted because how do you write and edit and take photographs and sell advertising? You don't get a chance to travel, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
And so I decided, you know what? This is not going to work. I can't do it. I'm going to take the 5 best articles and I'm going to put them up on this thing that I heard called the internet. I had no idea what it was.
Well, in the 90s, it was in its infancy. It was very, very new to everybody.
Yes, yes. And I didn't know who to go to find how to do this. And I finally located a webmaster, and he put those 5 articles up on the web for me. And that's when the magic started.
And it took off from there?
It took off from there. I honestly didn't expect it to be my life's career. I thought, this is my way of helping other women. Let me put some of my tips and some of my stories up there so it'll be helpful to anybody who was looking for that kind of help. But the truth was, very few women had computers. Right? Nobody had computers in their kitchens in 1997.
No, no. It was still very, very new to everybody.
That's right. And they were going to the library, and they were finding it in the library, and they were finding it if they were at work, business computers. And so it went. I would say to women, you know about me, now tell somebody else. Now you tell somebody else. And so it went from woman to woman to woman to woman. And by then, I was 54 years old. I had no idea of how to do this on the internet. But I persevered, and as we all know, there is magic. There can be terrible things happening on the internet, but there's also magic and a lovely way to create a community.
Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful story. And you share with everybody your exploits and everything, from things to how to keep yourself safe if you're a woman traveling alone, to what to wear in different cities. And I always found that fascinating. I was going through that the other day on suggestions on what to wear in different cities, because customs are different. And I got to imagine that's probably one of the most used parts of your website.
It is. And, you know, parts of it are becoming outdated now, because 10 years ago, women were saying, don't wear tennis shoes in Paris. You have to wear shishi shoes with a little bit of a heel. Well, now everybody in Paris is wearing tennis shoes. So the truth is, at this point in my life and in my career, I'm just about 79 years old, there are thousands of pages up on the website. And the idea of going through all of those clothing trip tips is daunting, to say the least.
Very interesting. Do you still like to travel alone, or do you like to travel with friends?
Most of the time, I travel alone. Now, that doesn't mean I'm traveling solely alone. I mean, I would think by 75, I was starting to think about what would it feel like to curtail what I was doing a little by going solo but registering with a tour company.
Mm-hmm.
They will carry my bags for me. They will keep me safe. I won't have to stand in the hot sun in lines anymore. And I tried it. And there were some I didn't like at all because they were too confining. But slowly but surely, these companies started to get the idea. They started to realize that you can take women, solo women or two women on a trip, help them along, but give them lots of room to explore on their own. And I think that's what the industry is evolving into now.
Well, one thing I found very interesting is you talk a lot about safety of women traveling alone and how to be safe. And you had a suggestion when you're asked by a man, like, what do you do back in the United States? You always give them this answer. Or actually, back in Canada is where you're from. You always give them this answer, that you're a policewoman.
Yes. They say, what are you doing here? What do you do back home? And I'm always cautious of people that become too curious too quickly. Mm-hmm. And so in a very offhand way, I say, oh, I'm here for a conference for police women. did you realize there was one going on in town? And they quickly fade away. You know, it's lovely. Today, I put up on the web my daily travel tip, and I said, one of the best things you can do, and this is not for traveling in China, but anywhere outside of China, in your hometown, go into Chinatown and pick up a neighborhood newspaper, a Chinese newspaper. Take the first section so it doesn't really weigh very much, and put it in your backpack. And when you're in any train station around the world or any airport and the con men start circling and coming over and say, you speak English? What are you doing here? Where are you going? I take out my little Chinese newspaper and I begin reading, and I look up at them with a very blank expression, and they very quickly move on to their next culprit. Right? Those are easy things that I never knew, but I found out as these people were harassing me, and I thought, now what can I do to stop them from bugging me, right?
That is so hilarious. how extensively have you traveled? Have you been on all the continents? Have you extensively in South America and Asia?
Not extensively, but I have been to all the continents. And I have spent a month in China doing research. I have an absolutely delicious Chinese granddaughter, and I went with my daughter to receive this little wonderful bundle, who is now 16 years old. I have been, and I try in all the countries that I go to be doing something, to have a mission, to be able to be with the people. I don't want to be a tourist. I don't need to go to the Eiffel Tower and touch it. I can see that in a photograph. I don't really need to do that. But when I'm in Paris, I will go to the library. I'll go to the park. I'll sit on a park bench and talk to the mom who's there with her little girl. Those are the things that excite me. I'm getting a chance to understand a little bit about what it's like to live in all of these different countries.
I love that. You know what? I always say I love when I go to a country and I have a reason for being there. I love being a tourist. I see the sights if I haven't been to that city. But to me, I get so much more out of being somewhere if I have a reason to interact with people.
Exactly. Exactly. And just as you are excited, so they are excited with you. They go home and they say to their husband or to their friend, you're not going to believe what happened at the park today. This lady sat down beside me and suddenly we were best friends, you know?
Very neat.
And I have the opportunity to hold the baby. It's wonderful.
Well, Evelyn, before I let you go, I want to know, and I so thank you for your time. As you said earlier, you don't do many of these, and I so appreciate the fact that you carved some time out of your schedule for me. But I want to know, after all your extensive travels, is there one place that just stands out, one or two places that just stand out that's your favorite place that you've been or you hope to go to again?
Such a good question. And the truth is, I don't want to go to any of the big cities with all the hubbub and all the traffic. I have found that as an older traveler, I am loving the places that are solitary and in most cases very cold. And I would say what I would love to do again is to go back to the Arctic, to be able to talk, and to the Antarctic, to be able to talk to the penguins again, to see the icebergs, to see the seals on the icebergs. It's just, I mean, for me, that is incredible.
What a great answer. What a great answer. Evelyn, I was thoroughly engaged talking to you today. I so appreciate your time, as I said before. What a wonderful story. And I hope you just continue to have incredible travels and adventures in your life.
Thank you. And I wish the same for you. Take care.
Okay.
Travel safe.
What a truly wonderful spirit. I'm so excited we got a chance to have her on the podcast. And after you listen to her, you can understand when I say that she truly created travel blogging. Okay, we shift gears here from Evelyn to a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame, Charlie Daniels, joining us on the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. And Charlie, I got to see you recently in concert. And I have to say, after decades of traveling, you still bring it on stage. I mean, you are still performing at 100%. It was so great to see.
Well, you know, if I couldn't do that, I wouldn't do it anymore. I mean, I've had too great a career and have enjoyed myself and entertained too many people and God has blessed me way too much with a wonderful career to ever do it if I couldn't do it up to standard. So, yeah, I'm glad you still feel that way about it because I really do enjoy it.
Well, it's neat because you're at a stage in your career, people who were around, you know, years ago still love you, but the younger generation is just as into you at your concerts as the older generation. I thought that was pretty cool. I think that says a lot about you.
Well, we have been blessed enough to have some songs that's kind of transcended the generations. We're in our, second generation, at least, with Devil Went Down to Georgia and some of the earlier tunes now. And they've done pretty well insofar as people still liking them, you know, younger people still liking them. So it's a blessing. Something really odd, though. I get requests for a song we did in 1973 called Uneasy Rider.
I love that song.
People who weren't even born when the song came out. And I don't know how they understand it, but I still get requests for it, so I still play it. But it's great. I mean, I love what I do, and I try to put a lot into it, and I thoroughly enjoy entertaining people.
Credit to yourself how many younger people come to you and look to you for advice. And something from your book, I love this too. This is so great. Never look at the empty seats. It says, walk on the stage with a positive attitude. Your troubles are your own and are not included in the price of a ticket. And some night you have to give more than other nights, but put it out there for every show. And man, that is the best piece of advice for a performer. We say that all the time on our show too. Hey, you know, got to put your troubles aside when you're doing a radio show. It's the same kind of deal.
If you're going to do it, do it. You know, if you're not, and that's what I was talking about a while ago. I was talking about my age and everything. I'll be 82 in October, and people say, well, you know, why do you keep going? I keep going because I love it. And if I ever get to feel like I'm not doing a good job, but I wouldn't do it. Because, like I said, I've had too great a career to let that happen. But I am just wide open right now. I got the best band I've ever had. We're doing a really entertaining show. We really enjoy playing together, and it's a fun time in my life, you know?
It's so great to hear you say that. That's fantastic. And then when I saw you on stage recently, too, like I said, it showed that you really did really enjoy getting on stage and performing still, and it resonated with audiences of all ages.
Oh, I do. I love it. I thank God I make a living doing something I enjoy so much.
Well, here's something that I didn't know until I was just kind of going over your bio. I did not know that you did sessions work with Bob Dylan when he came to Nashville all those years ago.
Yeah, I did three albums with Bob Dylan. I did Nashville Skyline, Self-Portrait, and New Morning. That was, I think the first one was probably 69 and in the early 70s. But that was a really big career kick for me. I got on the sessions kind of by accident, and that the a lot of people think that Nashville Skyline was the first album that Dylan ever did in Nashville. It's not. It's the third one. He had done John Wesley Harding and Blonde on Blonde in Nashville to kind of put a band together that he enjoyed working with. And when he came to town to do Nashville Skyline, the guitar player they'd been using couldn't make it to the first session. So I kind of got on by default and stayed around for two more. So it was a very big deal to me. It was such a great thing to play on a Dylan record.
That's a fact that probably a lot of people don't know about Charlie Daniels.
Well, I've never hit it, believe me. Something I've been really proud of, really happy about. But it was such a big kick shot in the arm to my career, because Bob Dylan he is to me, he's still the greatest artist of that vein. And he's the kind of person that people want to know about and actually read the back of the liner notes. And he was always nice enough to put the name of the musicians who played on the liner notes. So to have your name on the back of a Bob Dylan album was a big deal.
Very big deal indeed. All right, Charlie, I got to ask you this question here. You've had an opportunity to tour all over. How much international touring have you done?
I've been to 30-some countries. I haven't played in every one of them, but I've played in a bunch of them.
Uh-huh. And the ones that you haven't played in, did you just go there for your own pleasure?
Well, yeah, I took my family and went to, you know, vacationing. But most of the time when I went over, I was actually working or touring.
Uh-huh.
We've done the Orient. We've done Japan, Korea. Most of the European countries, the Western European countries, and I've been to Iraq 3 times, been to Kuwait, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Afghanistan, just all over the place, and just over the years we've went to a lot of those was entertaining the troops.
Yeah.
So I've done quite a bit of international travel.
When you performed in Western Europe, what was their impression of country music? Because I hear different stories all the time from country stars when they go to Europe, what the audience is like.
It depended on where you were. If the people were very versed in country music, and in Germany they are. Everywhere we went, everybody knew Double Went Down to Georgia. So that gave us a little inroad right there to start with, and at least we can sit down and listen to some of the rest of this stuff. But they're pretty much into the same things that we're into here. The music kind of finds its way over there, especially nowadays with all the international radio and everything. When I first started touring over there, it was not so much that way. It was pretty much whatever you got done locally. But nowadays, our world is all in communication. So whatever happens here is known about over there real quick, and they're right up to date on, our music and everybody's music. In fact, if they're a fan, they know about you, and they make great fans. I mean, if they're into you, they want to know everything about you. You know, they want to know. They tend to have more curiosity, it seems, than a lot of the fans. It seems like they're very interested. We went one time down to when we were playing in Berlin. Went down to the Berlin Wall, and we were there, and some guys came up. Bruce Brown, our guitar player, had just started working with us not long before, and said, "We're looking for Bruce Brown." I said, "Well, you know," it was like, "How did you know about Bruce Brown?"
Yeah, really.
They reached up, you know. I mean, it was the newest member to CDB, and they knew about him, and they wanted to meet him. They got a lot of what they had known, you know, from print and that sort of thing, and of course the international TV shows and stuff. But of course nowadays, like I say, it's almost like local. Everybody gets the same thing at the same time.
Yeah. So of all the travels that you've done, what's probably one of the places that you most enjoyed visiting?
I thoroughly enjoyed Australia. We've been there a few times, and I think the closest, as far as our philosophy of living and that sort of thing, is probably the closest to the United States. We're both pretty young countries. We're both pretty adventurous, and you know, the people are pretty independent, and there's just a great spirit about Australia. I really enjoy going there.
Well, Charlie, I enjoyed talking to you. I really appreciate the time. Continued success, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, buddy.
The great Charlie Daniels. You've been listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. I want to thank Charlie for being part of it today. And also big thanks to Evelyn Hannon from JourneyWoman.com, one of the few interviews that she's done. And we really did enjoy talking to her. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits. This has been Travel with Hawkeye.